Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? James Coe here on the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. Beautiful Monday. Just got done with week 9, pretty much. We don't talk about Monday Night Football because we tape on Monday. Well, by the time you listen to it.
I have a bad feeling this Monday Night Football game is going to be bad.
Just bad? Seattle taking on Buffalo? You don't like this one?
Well, Shady's hurt. Russ is hurt. Baldwin's hurt.
It's going
to
be bad.
I mean, we could skip ahead to Thursday when it's Browns Ravens.
Yeah, buddy. Let's go.
You mean the Terrence West revenge game?
It is the Terrence West revenge. Wow. Okay, I like it. Big time show in front of us here today. Oh, wait, I didn't even introduce the cast of characters. We got the franchise here. What's going on?
What up?
WizKid from Wisconsin, Alex Gilhorn, what's cracking?
Oh, not too much. Just interesting people jumping into my mentions on Twitter today. Not about Ty Montgomery, though, so.
Yeah, buddy.
Progress.
I guess that's a win.
That's a win.
Dude, that's totally a win. Okay. MP, my guy, Marcus Grant, what's going on?
We have.
What?
We got to turn this off. This is distracting. So, full disclosure, as we sit here in the podcast studio, there are 3 televisions in front of us, yes. And it was on the channel.
We have an in-house feed of Brian Billick's house.
Yeah. The inside.
Well, because we have it, like, all the remote, like, Billick's remote camera. We have
Ian Rappaport. Yeah. Who else got a remote?
I don't know.
Everyone.
Those are the major ones. Billick does hits for Total Access.
Right.
But all three.
Oh, Mike Silver's got one.
Kurt Warner.
All three. Yeah, Kurt Warner's got one. All three of the TVs here in the studio were all on Billick's remote camera.
And he was eating the hell out of some kind of snack.
He was going to town, but now he was just adjusting for his hit. And it's just too distracting. I couldn't focus.
Literally reached across my computer to go grab this remote to turn off all the TVs.
Well, I cannot listen to you guys while also watching Brian Billick do whatever the hell it is he's doing right now.
Unbelievable.
It's just weird. It's weird. Like, I expect him to look over at some point and be like, can you idiots keep it down over there?
He doesn't know anyone's watching.
I know, but that's the weird part. He has to know somebody's
right,
watching.
He knows the camera's on.
Right.
That's not true.
Well, I'm sure he doesn't think we're, like, casually watching. Like,
but it's funny because you'll walk through the newsroom or the blue room sometime.
Yeah,
and you'll
just see on.
You'll just see Ian or Billick sitting there looking at their computers. Sometimes, like, yeah, we just watch Billick eat a snack. Like,
yeah.
We've seen him, like, get up and stretch before. It's
Insider
so
access.
This is great. Yeah, great start to the podcast.
When everybody wonders how wonderful our jobs are, this is the extra inside access.
Yeah, right? Woo.
Oh, my gosh. All right, we've got a big-time show in front of us here today. We're going to talk about offenses you can't trust. Get to top performers, biggest disappointments as well. Of course, on a Monday, you're going to be setting your waiver wire, or at least you should be anyway. So Alex Gilhar will navigate us through not only your regular waiver wire, but for those of you in deep release, he's got your deep dive waiver wire ads as well. But we start the show. A lot of news today, so let's start it.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
Watch the news because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
I think for me, the big one comes out of Denver. Mike Kliss of 9 News. He's a well-respected, well-known Broncos insider. He reported today on Twitter, quote, running back Devontae Booker took 46 of 56 offensive snaps versus Oakland. Capri Bibbs had 9. The ratio figures to change in Bibbs' favor versus New Orleans. Now, he didn't say Bibbs is going to be the starter, but he is saying here in this tweet that Bibbs should not only get more work, but is going to get more work than Devontae Booker. I want to know the group's reaction to it beyond the Deke shriek. Do we believe the report? I mean, again, this is not just some Yahoo reporting this, man. Like, he is.
Mike Kliss is like a
top, the guy.
Top 5 beat reporter across all teams, I'd say.
100%.
In terms of scoops and trustworthiness and insight into the team and things like that.
I trust this report big time.
I trust this report big time, and it bears out. I mean, you put in the rundown, too. Devontae Booker, we were all super excited when he was going to assume that starting role, and he's averaged just 2.62 yards per carry.
He has not been good.
In his 2 games since becoming the starter, 29 rushes for just 76 yards, Devontae Booker. I mean, we were stoked about Devontae Booker. And I tell you what, if he was out on your waiver wire, not only were you burning that number one waiver wire priority on him, if you had a fab budget, holy hell.
It's like you don't anymore.
50-plus percent. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Oh, easy, easy. I mean, I saw him go for 100 out of 100 in a league that I was playing in. It was craziness.
I tweeted that I thought this was a fantasy red alert, and I had a friend of the program, one of the guys who like helps run all this podcast stuff, Johnny Buttons, talking to me on Twitter. He's like, I don't think it's a red alert. And I was like, dude, this is taking a guy who we assumed had a featured workload in a run-first team and now saying he's going to get out-snapped by Capri Bibbs.
Right.
Like, neither – when he and Anderson were splitting work, like, yes, they had productive games, but it wasn't as trustworthy as Booker being a featured guy is. So now we're going to almost have to wait and see how this bears out against New Orleans.
Yeah, you just never want to – it's never good to have a running back go from a potential, you know, 20-touch, like, locked-in-every-week role to being a split backfield. And I think Gary Kubiak's quote comes in – this comes from Cecil Lamb. He said, I think we're gaining confidence in Capri Bibbs. Booker's not doing anything wrong. We just need to find more room. So, I mean, that definitely speaks to a potential committee. And look, I mean, C.J. Anderson had some of these weeks, too.
Right.
When, like, not only was he splitting work with Booker, but even when he was the feature back, he was having some of these, like, you know, sub 3 yards per carry games, because this is one of those offenses that's really easy to know how to defend it. They're based on the run game and they don't have a particularly scary quarterback back there.
To Devontae Booker's defense, this game script went way out of favor for him from the get-go. Like, the Raiders went up early.
But
the Broncos tried to pass early too and then got down more.
Which is just a bad idea. But like on paper heading into this game, it was a really good matchup for Booker. The Raiders were allowing 125 rush yards per game heading into this game. So
I mean, they take on New Orleans. You can't ask for a better matchup.
Yeah, I mean, Duane Harris.
But we thought that against the Raiders too.
Right.
True.
Yeah.
You know, you can't ask for a better matchup. And I think you know, what we – I think we've all fallen into this trap occasionally. I mean, look, maybe this is different. I looked at, for instance, Sharkhandrick West on Sunday, and we all looked at that and thought, okay, well, he plugs in for Spencer Ware. There's going to be volume. He's going against a Steeler defense that had been kind of shaky against running backs. So, hey, all of the Sharkhandrick West. That was the prevailing thought during the week. Obviously, it didn't happen, and it just kind of makes you rethink that, hey, sometimes – there's a reason a guy is lower on the depth chart, and it's not necessarily a plug-and-play situation. It's a little different with Booker in the sense that there had been a lot of talk. You know, the one of the themes on draft day was that immediately he became the best running back on the Broncos roster, so I think a lot of people believed in his talent. But, again, he hadn't had a lot of work, and to all of a sudden make him the workhorse, maybe we got too far ahead of ourselves there.
Here's something of a subsidiary question just before we get out of this point of the topic, too. Is it time we should give a little bit more respect to the Raiders' defense than just grouping them in with the Saints? Like,
it's getting better.
They are
getting better.
Yeah, they're certainly better than what they started out. Like, I don't know if we just, like, it's an automatic everybody but in the pool game when you face the Raiders at this point. They did have a lot of free agents that I think might be gelling now.
Yeah, that's a very good point. This looks more like the defense we expected off the bat, not a defense that was, you know, 30th or lower in basically every statistical category.
After the first two, I think after the first two or three weeks, we pretty much pegged them and just decided that they're just bad.
And which is fair, because they were bad.
They were bad.
Khalil Mack, I saw today, I think no player has more pressures or sacks than him over the last couple weeks. It might not have been sacks too, but per PFF. So
that's interesting.
He's been ramping up his production. I mean, he was everywhere last night and 2 weeks ago.
It's so interesting. You start thinking about the AFC West, the defensive line's there, right? Because with Joey Bosa there in San Diego, they're putting a lot of pressure on quarterbacks. You think about Oakland, Bruce Irvin, Khalil Mack, they're putting some pressure on the quarterback. Now Denver, we already know about with their all-star studded cast of defensive linemen.
Kansas City getting
Ford.
Kansas City. They don't have Justin Houston.
They don't have Jason Houston,
He just came off PUP. So.
Interesting. All right, we'll move on. Talk about the New York Jets. Ryan Fitzpatrick sprained his MCL in the loss to Miami. Might have been the ugliest game. Well, was it? God, there were a lot of ugly games. But anyways, the Jets versus Miami, certainly an ugly one. 2015 fourth-round pick Bryce Petty out of Baylor is theoretically – next in line, maybe. Ryan Fitzpatrick again dealing with that MCL injury. Fitz leads the league in interceptions with 13. And according to quarterback rating, he is literally the worst quarterback in the NFL. A 67.6 rating. It's the lowest of any starting quarterback. Blaine Gabbert is the next in line with 69.6, but obviously he got supplanted. Brock Osweiler, the next in line after that, 73.1. Not great for Ryan Fitzpatrick. I would imagine Todd Bowles and the Jets move on. No?
Yeah. I feel like if you listen to the around the NFL guys, they've been talking about this on their podcast for a couple weeks. Dan Hansis is a big Jets fan. Like, the Jets need to see what they have for the future, because all these guys are old that they have. They're all going to be free agents next year. They want to see what they have invested in Bryce Petty. Why not give him a shot?
Hackenberg's there too, right?
Hackenberg is there.
Yes, he is.
I mean, we sit here and we look at the Jets and we think, oh, yeah, it just seems like, why wouldn't you give Bryce Petty a shot? But Todd Bowles hasn't even hinted that this could happen. I mean, the only way you think it would happen right now is if Fitz has an injury that doesn't allow him to get on the field.
Yeah.
But there's been nothing I've heard or read from Todd Bowles that suggests they are leaning toward Bryce Petty right now.
Okay, so forget about the quarterback position, because you weren't playing Ryan Fitzpatrick generally anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But what does it mean for somebody like Brandon Marshall, who has a bad history of basically just saying forget it and throwing his hands up in the air in losing seasons, in seasons on teams that are going absolutely nowhere? We've seen it happen with Brandon Marshall before. He just takes the season off. What does it mean for Brandon Marshall moving forward?
I think because Brandon Marshall has had such a tumultuous history off the field, and is very self-aware of that, and has talked about his own mental conditions and this, that, and the other, it's kind of hard to say, like, this is what he was in Denver or Miami or whatever, because he has certainly been, since he's come to New York, seems to be a very different guy.
Like,
he's talked about being dedicated and all that. So, I mean, yeah, maybe that looms in the background, but I wouldn't take that into that big of a consideration. The real worry here is, like, that the volume that he's had in the offense has not been able to give him a sustainable floor with what is the worst quarterback play in the league. And that is what's more troubling to me than him potentially, you know, taking the rest of the year off.
Yeah, and what worries me is it's not going to get better either if they switch to one of these young guys. Like, Bryce Petty's a quarterback that learned how to read a blitz from Madden, and Hackenberg is a quarterback. Hackenberg is a quarterback whose knock against him coming out of college was he's bad at football.
Yeah, like, literally the negatives was bad game tape.
Right.
That seems bad. But
it's not good.
Look, it's easy, I think, it's a lot easier for us or for other writers to sit here and be like, they should, you know, figure out what they have in Bryce Petty. But as an NFL team, you can't go out there and get your you-know-what stomped in again and again and again, like, and go 24-0, you know, for the rest of the way. You can't be completely uncompetitive.
Wins keep jobs.
Right.
We just saw, like, Thomas Dimitroff, who many thought might be on the hot seat or whatever in Atlanta.
Extension,
that
baby.
Team started winning, and look at that. He turned it around. So if Todd Bowles and the coaching staff think that Ryan Fitzpatrick, even a hobbled one, is their best chance to win, he's going to keep starting.
I guess the point is, and that's the reason why I put in the quarterback rating. I mean, I don't know if it can get worse.
It can always
can always be worse.
Always. If there's one thing I feel like I've learned from the NFL is it can always get worse.
I would like to point you back to that Josh Freeman Monday night game when he played for the Vikings.
Holy hell.
Ugh.
It can always get worse.
All right, there you go. Let's go to Washington. Running back Rob Kelly is holding on to that starting job. That, according to head coach Jay Gruden. He told reporters Matt Jones would have to, quote, earn his job back. So there you go. Jeremy Maclin left the game. Yes,
just
please.
Real quick to chime in on this. Rob Kelly, like, didn't light the world on fire in London or anything. But I wrote
thought
about
he
this.
Played. I thought he played with a lot of passion and fire, though.
He did, and they said he ran super hard, which the line liked and the coaching staff liked, and it bore out in his stats. Two of the things that were dogging Matt Jones, this was per a good ESPN article, I forget who wrote it, but I linked to it in the waiver wire piece. He did not fumble, obviously, which was Jones's big bugaboo.
Right.
And his decisiveness and his effort meant he had zero negative runs on his 21 carries last week.
Hey, there
you go. I'd also just like to mention the Redskins' four running backs have, if not the worst, but one of, like, the bottom five unfavorable schedules.
Oh, is that right?
For running backs.
Yes. Who do they got?
Minnesota, week 10.
Oh, God.
Green Bay, week 11, who's the top run-stopping defense in the league right now.
Yep.
At Dallas, at Arizona, at Philadelphia, and then Carolina in week 15, Chicago week 16.
Yeah, I'm not about the Rob Kelly thing, whatever.
Just a heads up.
I think it's a committee. I think it's a committee backfield on a pass-heavy team.
Yeah,
no thanks.
Well, Chris Thompson obviously is going to work into those passing downs. Yeah.
I just think that given all the injuries and the trash heap that is the running back position right now, we can't turn away from a guy like this who could be the goal line favorite.
Right.
It's true. On, while it is a pass-heavy team, it's still a team that moves the ball a lot and scores a ton of points.
That's
so,
just a word of caution.
Yeah, just don't. I would say just don't view crazy. It as like I've got a season saver here.
Yeah,
and with the coaching staff saying Matt Jones will have to earn his job back, that means they're still going to give him Byrne to earn that job back because that was still a third round pick of theirs that they were really high on.
Right.
Good point. Jeremy Macklin.
Now have fun with all that.
Yeah.
Look, man, Chris Ivory and TJ Yeldon were top 14 backs yesterday, so don't come at me about complaining about Rob Kelly right now.
Anything is possible.
Jeremy Macklin left the game after one series against the Jags. He re-aggravated his groin injury. Andy Reid says he's day-to-day, but did admit that Jeremy Macklin could miss more time. The kind of the season-long disappointment for Jeremy Macklin.
Sad. Mm.
Continues.
Know what this means.
What does it mean?
Bird alert.
Bird alert.
Woo, 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 woo.
Does it mean bird alert?
Hey,
yeah, it did yesterday.
I mean, Alex Smith is coming back, right?
I mean.
Because that's gonna pour cold water on all of your fires right there. I mean.
Thanks. Jeremy, thanks, Marcus.
Marcus, who peed in your Cheerios?
I mean, I'm just saying, like, I think Jeremy Macklin is a really talented wide receiver.
He is. He's a good football player.
And has a chance to be a big play guy, but he's got a quarterback that basically keeps him on a route leash. I mean, like, you can't run down the field if your quarterback's not going to throw it to you down there. So that impacts him. It impacts Albert Wilson, Chris Conley, Stephon Page, if he decides to come out of retirement and play for the Chiefs again. Like, nobody's getting the ball downfield from Alex Smith.
Who is Stephon Page?
Stephon Page is a very good wide receiver for the Chiefs in the 80s.
Okay, well, it was before I was
80s,
born.
Maybe
the more you
90s.
Know.
Doesn't born. It was before I was born. Doesn't matter.
good point.
Yeah.
In Atlanta, Tevin Coleman was seen practicing Monday in a very limited capacity. He was.
I thought I saw he didn't practice.
He was working, doing light work on the side field.
Wrong.
Okay. So he was like painting the rest of the team practicing? Or
I don't know what that means. I just read the report. I wasn't there. Tevin Coleman doing light work on the side field at practice Monday. Whatever that
tough,
means.
Tough crowd.
He's been working with a hamstring injury. We don't know what his availability will be for Sunday, but we'll keep an eye on it. Mike Evans was practicing Monday. He was in the concussion protocol after Thursday. All signs point to him being a go on Sunday. All right, we'll stay with Tampa Bay. Doug Martin mispracticed again Monday. This is a surprise. Doug Martin, I think most folks would have assumed that he would be back. He's been dealing with a hamstring injury that's kept him out since February. Jacquizz Rodgers still in a walking boot. I think they have 14 other running backs that are injured.
Anton Smith went to IR today.
Yep.
Holy hell.
Sick.
It's Peyton Barber and Mike James, baby. Let's go.
Nevuary might be my favorite co-ism.
Okay. Yes, it's a good one.
I took that from 2 Chainz.
Oh.
Oh. Why would you even credit that? Just take the credit.
Okay, fine. Doug Martin. Doesn't look like he's going to play again, which is – this is insane.
Just 2 days ago, Coach Dirk Cutter said he was hopeful Doug Martin could play in Week 10.
This is crazy. How long has he been gone?
Long enough.
Since Week 2.
Since
Week
2?
I mean,
he left
in Week 1. Yeah.
He's been gone with a hamstring injury for 2 months?
Well, then he got setbacks.
Yeah, he had a setback.
Stuff.
Oh, my God. This is craziness, dude.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah, he played Week 2, and that's it. Dang.
So the Bucks play.
This is crazy.
At home against the Bears in Week 10.
All right.
If Peyton Barber is going to theoretically be the starter,
all right,
that's a really good spot.
Is it?
I mean, it's going to be I don't think either one of those teams is going to run away from the other.
All right.
It should be a competitive, close game, potentially. And the Bucks playing at home should make them probably the favorite in that game. And running backs on a home team that's going to be favored is an appetizing little situation.
Tampa Bay's been moving the ball pretty good, too.
So. Right, yeah.
So there you go.
For what that's worth.
I don't know. Peyton Barber, babe. Let's go. Is Mike James going to be a danger zone play? Maybe.
He might have to be.
All right.
Sheesh.
All they got left.
All right, let's talk about Sunday night football. By the way, I cannot believe Capri Bibbs, who was formerly on the danger zone, did nothing in the danger zone week, decided to explode yesterday.
Don't you have like a 2-week cushion?
No, I don't. And I also can't believe I've actually seen extensive game tape of Capri Bibbs at Colorado State.
Oh, you've been
like on purpose?
CSU scouting?
Yeah. Well, because of is danger
he,
zone.
So is he good or?
No, yeah, I think he's a legit player. I mean, he's small though. I mean, he's 5'8", 205 or 210 or something. It's like
squat.
There's nothing good small running backs.
I mean, I guess, but you know, again, if we're asking a guy to be, you know, one cut system dude, five, that just doesn't.
Man, Ray Rice was like 5'9". MJD, I mean, we're all taller than him around here, so.
Oh, he was like 5'7", but also like 220. Like,
right.
His lower half was just unreal.
Tree trunks. Anyways, we're getting aside from point. You know who's not 5'9" is Latavius Murray.
Holy hell.
He's a large person.
He's a large human being. Sunday Night Football, let's react to it. Latavius Murray, 114 rush yards, 3 touchdowns. He had a long of 42.
Wow.
Quite frankly, I thought he looked great yesterday against what was supposed to be a terrible matchup against the Denver Broncos.
Why don't the Raiders give him more touches?
I don't know.
He had 20 carries last night. His other really big game a couple weeks ago against the Jaguars, he had 18. He didn't have the yardage, but he did have a couple of touchdowns. And it's just, you know, we all sat here on Sunday night. We sat in the office finishing up our work for the day and watched the start of that game. And the Raiders, their first 3 plays, they had 3 different running backs.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't make sense. Why would you do that? You don't get anybody in a rhythm. You don't get anybody comfortable. None of that happens. And so finally on Sunday night, they give Latavius Murray 20 carries. They were still able to get a lot of work for DeAndre Washington. They were still able to get work for Jalen Richard. But you established a lead running back, and he rewarded you with 114 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns. Why can't we have this every week? Why won't they let us have good things?
I was going to say, didn't it feel like as the game went on, though, like they tried that three-man running back rotation and then one guy took the ball and ran with it literally?
Yep.
And doesn't it feel like that's like, okay, somebody like kind of throwing everything at the wall, and then when one guy sticks, they go with that guy. Hopefully that's what we see going forward.
I don't know. You talk about Latavius Murray even getting 20 carries. Still, you look at the rest of the team, they all combined for 19 rushes as well. So, I mean, it's still, at best, it's Latavius versus everyone else in a committee. You know what I mean? 20 carries versus 19 for the rest of the running backs. It's like,
That means he's still got more than 50% of the carries.
That's true.
I have to wonder if this wasn't a case of the Raiders having done some self-scouting a little bit, though, too. I don't know if any of you guys read Mike Silver's piece last night about it, but he talked to Donald Penn, and they talked about how, at one point, they ran the same running play 10 times in a row.
Nice.
Because that left side of the line with Donald Penn and Coleccio, similarly, I think Penn plays on left, I'm pretty positive, just manhandling the Broncos' defensive line. And Penn talked about how it like took their will away. So they pay a lot of money for Coleccio, similarly, and they got Donald Penn too. And maybe this is a case where they're like, hey, we can do some things good. And they start to pound it away with Latavius Murray. I mean, we don't know for certain, but this is certainly a good sign that Murray could be coming into at least more of a 60% share of this backfield
that would
opportunities.
Be great.
That would be nice.
And he is their favorite goal line back, as we had 100%. Seen earlier in the year. I mean, I put this in Slack this morning. It was hilarious because Murray has like 330 yards on the year, but 8 touchdowns.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
That's the thing. Like, coming into this week, though, it's not like he'd played particularly well, especially early in the year. He hadn't really been an efficient runner or anything.
No.
He'd just been buoyed up by touchdowns.
Yeah. Yep.
But for the Raiders' sake, like, I picked against the Raiders on our Pick'em show because it was like I didn't think they had a counterpunch to Denver being so strong in the secondary, but Murray was that counterpunch. So it would make sense going forward, especially if they want to be more than just a high-flying passing team, to establish a running game. So hopefully this is a sign of things.
We've seen this formula, too, work for a team like Dallas where their defense is not good. I mean, the personnel on their defense, not great. But they mask a lot of their deficiencies by being able to grind the clock, run the ball. Pro Football Focus graded Oakland's offensive line as the second best in the NFL behind the aforementioned Dallas Cowboys. Why not run it?
Yeah.
Why not take the air out of the ball a little bit and save your defense a bit?
You know,
especially against the Broncos, who have a great pass defense. Mm-hmm. They just kind of, you know,
makes a lot of
A couple teams have done about this. I tweeted this about the Saints too. The first 7 weeks of the year, they had a 42-58 run pass split. The last 2 weeks, both wins, 50-50.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Interesting.
A couple cool stats from Next Gen Stats before we get out of here about
Please.
The Raiders. They ran a league-leading 48.7% of their plays with 6 offensive linemen, averaging 5.9 yards per play.
Wow.
Those packages. And Latavius Murray had a league-high 16 rush attempts against 8-plus defenders in the box with 94 yards on all 3 touchdowns.
So it can be done.
Yes.
It can be done against a stacked box.
Interesting stuff.
Nobody else did anything in this game. I mean, Jordan Norwood, Capri Bibbs
were
the only other touchdowns for Denver. Cooper didn't do anything. Crabtree didn't do anything.
With the number of PI calls putting the ball at the 1 yard line, it just kept going to Murray instead of like having those red zone Seth Roberts or Michael Crabtree targets.
Nobody did it. It was crazy.
And Derek Carr only had 7 points too.
He had no touchdowns.
Yeah.
He had less than 200 yards passing. It was ridiculous. I did want to talk about this stat that I just saw today. Guys, I looked at the numbers.
Ooh, what do they tell you?
Yeah, what
they tell
say?
Me this, that Denver has allowed the fourth most rush yards per game.
Interesting.
128.6 rush yards per game. I throw this out to you guys. Is it time? We're 9 weeks in now. Is it time to rethink how we view that matchup? Because I think on paper, without having looked at any of the stats, you would say Denver, I don't want to touch that. If I have a running back, it's a bad matchup.
Right.
But right now, they're allowing the fourth most rush yards per game. Is it time to rethink how we think about Denver's rush
yards? I don't want to toot the Strongholds' horn here, but we've kind of been on this for a few weeks, talking about how they had been giving up a pretty solid yards per carry clip, and that running backs, like even including Melvin Gordon, who hadn't been that efficient, and other ones had gotten over on this defense, because that was the one chink in its armor, is the pass defense was so stout that teams were able to run through the middle on them. But yeah, I haven't been terrified of starting running backs against Denver so far, and especially with Derek Wolfe getting injured, I'm not going to be scared about starting running backs against them moving forward.
I think it also has to do with Denver's bad offense. I think they led the league in 3 and outs or something going into last night.
Yes,
so like when you're giving the ball to the other team that often, the rushing yards against are going to rack up.
Yeah, they're not able to run away and have other teams chase them.
Right.
Games are competitive.
I like it. All right, let's talk about offenses you can't trust. We'll go to Minnesota. They're the second lowest in the league in terms of rush yards per game. They average only 72 rush yards per game.
Dude.
No.
Not good.
Jerick McKinnon was a huge disappointment yesterday.
No. No.
He had eight yards and 7 carries.
No.
He also has, to be fair, he was coming off.
Wasn't 100%, injury, but Ronnie Hillman led Minnesota's backfield last
Yeah.
Ronnie Hillman.
He's back, yo.
But Rhett Ellison got the touchdown, yo.
Sick.
He's a tight end, by the way.
We've had two tight end rushing touchdowns.
That's good. Yeah, Kobe Flaner had one. Rhett Ellison has another one.
Pac-12, yo.
But anyways.
Oh, that's right.
Aside from Stephon Diggs,
maybe
Kyle Rudolph.
Oh, I'm still 100% in on Diggs. By the way,
did Diggs have the most disgusting game ever?
14 targets, 13 catches, 80 yards.
That's ridiculous. What the hell is that? That's the most disgusting. That is a straight Julian Edelman game. That is stupid.
But listen,
how do you have 13 catches for 86 yards? That's dumb.
But I think this is what the Vikings need to do going forward. I tweeted out Sam Bradford's Next Gen Stats passing chart. He had the third lowest average time to throw in the NFL in week 9. And I think that is a direct adjustment from having Norv Turner out as the offensive coordinator and Pat Shurmur in. They're going to look to get the ball out quicker because they can't pass protect. We know that. I think they might have the worst pass protecting line in the NFL right now.
Probably.
So I think that's probably just as gross as it is for fantasy. I think that's what they need to do in order to, put offense on the field and move the ball slowly down the field. They're not going to have Sam Bradford taking those deep shots on the post route that they had Stephon Diggs doing. So I think Diggs is still a really good floor play every week. I don't know if he has access to the same ceiling he showed in week 22.
Bro, is Diggs a more athletic Julian Edelman movie?
No. I don't see, and I know that there was a lot of like,
oh god,
are they going to turn Diggs into Jarvis Landry? And like,
please God, no.
You watch what you say.
Diggs is such a better player, but I think that's what they need to use him as right now. I mean, it's just a ton of short routes. I think his average depth of target was 3 yards down the field.
Oh my god.
Well, we talked about this with. Speaking of Landry, because he only had 3 catches for 33 yards, we were talking about this Sunday night, how that offense has changed fundamentally. Now that they have a ground game, they don't need to use Landry as an extension of the running game. Minnesota has no ground game, so they're using Diggs as an extension of the running game.
That's disgusting.
And Diggs also played, I think, if it wasn't a season-high percentage of his snaps in the slot, it was close to it.
So. All right, so we trust no one in the Minnesota backfield.
No.
Nope.
And maybe just Diggs in the passing game?
Kyle Rudolph
in matchups?
Listen.
Yeah.
Okay.
CP would have had a
touchdown. He dropped that touchdown pass if he had some hands.
Stop.
Nah, man, he's a thing.
He is a thing.
He's
involved. He played the second most snaps of the receivers.
He's involved.
How many targets did he have?
He had six
or seven, I think.
That's not bad.
No, he's a fine – This is just reaching back to the past.
Oh, but man.
I mean, he has turned into a usable NFL player.
Okay. Yeah.
For fantasy, like, there, he had had a couple of touchdowns in back-to-back games going into this spot.
And he's had a decent yardage floor. So if you put him in the flex, you know you're going to get a few points, and you hope he doesn't, you know, doink the touchdown off of his hands.
But he might always.
Are we also going to get to the point of the podcast where you try to sell me on Ruben Randall? Stop.
I'm not. Well, for one, Ruben Randall's not on an NFL roster.
But I have never stumped Ruben Randall. How dare you?
You see where I'm going with this, though.
But this is, don't be stubborn. This is what's happening on the field.
Agreed.
And listen, you talk about extension of the running games, you know, getting the ball out quickly. That's
all
a little CP on those worthless bubble screens.
Him, man. Yeah.
All I'm saying is the daps to the guy, he's a useful NFL player now as opposed to just a complete joke.
The smirk on Harmon's face and just the overarching scowl on MJ's face.
Well, again, Marcus.
I love it. This is what I live for.
Marcus had some peach Cheerios this morning, man. Yeah. He's been salty.
Miami's pass game and offense, you can't trust. The fourth lowest pass yards per game in the NFL, just 218 passing yards per game, especially with Jay Ajayi trucking right now. I don't know. Miami's pass game, I don't know if you could trust it.
Jay Ajayi had three receptions, which tied for the team lead with Jarvis Landry.
Holy hell, the team lead?
One other player yesterday.
The team lead, three receptions?
Say it again.
That's correct, yes.
Oh, good God.
I mean, I think that God was
Dominique Jones also had three.
Oh,
and Jarvis
Landry. Oh, my God.
He had a touchdown.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, right. Buddy, let's go.
One of the best tweets from the fantasy handles on Sundays when some random player scores and Marcus puts his profile picture. So, this is Dominique Jones. He's a tight end of the Miami Dolphins.
Have you seen this man?
He's not on your fantasy roster.
But he did just score a touchdown. But I think that Gelhar's point that he just made, what we were talking about yesterday, was like that, yeah, for years, because they've either never wanted to or have not been able to establish a run game, they've used Jarvis Landry in those sort of, you know, really short to intermediate dump-off routes, especially drags and slants over the middle of the field. Right. They don't have to do that now that they have one of the best running backs in the freaking NFL in their backfield there with Jay Ajayi. I mean, the offensive line is not pass-protecting well that much, but they are run-blocking really well. They're doing great. They've found a team identity. They've also scaled back their use of three wide receiver sets, their use of up-tempo passing, and I mean, this is how they're winning right now, is with Jay Ajayi. So I don't think we can expect to see Jarvis Landry, who rattled off double-digit targets in every game in the month of September. I don't think we see that from him as much
going
forward.
And the thing is, too, they're not pass protecting great, but this new offensive focus is keeping Ryan Tannehill upright. I was writing about this in Streaming Defenses, which will be up a little later today. He took 17 sacks over the first five games. He's been sacked twice over the last three.
Wow, that's impressive.
O-line improving.
And two of his five highest passer ratings have come in the last 3 weeks as well. His top one and his second highest one.
Can I just say, I know like it was a bad week for streaming quarterbacks and everyone was on Ryan Tannehill as a top streaming quarterback, and I understand the logic behind it all.
All right.
But
he's still Ryan Tannehill?
He's still Ryan Tannehill. Like, have you seen him play this season? He's just not good. And he had...
He's bad.
Mike Glennon had 9 points. Ryan Tannehill had 9.66 points in four quarters. Mike Glennon played, two drives on Thursday night.
Ryan Tannehill had 9 points?
I actually saw a great stat that...
I know exactly what you're about to say.
The one I'm saying, that actually Atlanta has given up 11 top 24 quarterback performances in 9 games. because of the Cam and Derek Anderson one,
and then because of the Winston and Glennon one.
And that was from Brian Malone of Dynasty League Football and Rotoviz. And he did add the caveat that Glennon is probably going to get passed
bumped.
Up tonight.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
let's
use it while it's good.
I get it. I get the Ryan Tannehill streaming thing. It was a bad week, but just...
Let's just stop with the Ryan Tannehill.
No.
But it's at this point that this passing offense has no upside.
Yeah.
Devontae Parker's hashtag bad.
It's all
and he still's got
hurt. He's also
hurt.
Injured.
Yeah.
Parker's injured.
But they've even said, the coaches have even said, like, he needs to learn how to play when not 100%.
Yeah, that's probably true. All right, there you go. It's scary for me to think about Jarvis. There's a lot of people who have Landry. All right.
He was the one guy in that offense that I kind of trusted for most of the year.
And I think a lot of owners right now hearing this might be freaking out because what can you really do? He doesn't have a lot of trade value because he's had so many bad games. You basically just ride him on the pot. I mean,
you got to hold him, put him on the bench for now. But the Gase was quick to come out after the game and say three catches is unacceptable for Jarvis Landry.
Yeah.
So even though they're going to be more run focused, I think they know they need to get their top playmaker involved and not rely on like last second kickoff return touchdowns to win games.
All right, there you go. Let's go to Baltimore. Baltimore is in the bottom third in terms of passing, but they're also the fifth lowest in terms of rushing, 81 yards per game.
Well, I said Terrence West would be a good play in this game.
Yes, yes.
On paper, coming into this game, everything was set up right against the Steelers' defense that had been gashed by running backs. I'm sorry to everyone. Come at me. I can't predict the future.
Somebody give Matt Goodwill Hunting, it's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
I'm behind the glass, so I can't touch him.
The big takeaway here is that Kenneth Dixon actually had more volume, people were talking about. He played more. He did leave the game with an injury, I believe.
Chest contusion, but it wasn't serious.
Weren't you telling me a stat, Gelhar, about the overall rushing attack for Baltimore? What was it, like under 2 yards a carry?
Well, they each only had 1.4 yards per carry yesterday.
1.4
yards? Oh, yeah, it was just
a carry.
It was horrible.
I think Dixon had 1.44 and West hit 1.4 on the nose.
Holy hell. That is bad.
Yeah, they had, yeah.
But to be fair,
40 yards on, I don't know.
Oh, good God.
24 carries.
The Steelers got Casey Hayward, or what's his name?
Cameron?
Cameron Hayward?
Yeah,
Cameron.
Cameron. Right.
Casey Hayward. Right. Oh, he's the cornerback.
Cornerback for the Chargers.
Yes. It's too many Haywards. Anyways, he came back for the Steelers last week, and that's a big difference.
Oh, like, yeah, for that defense.
Like, that's why they were getting gashed right up the middle, because Hayward's one of the better run stoppers in the NFL. So I think the schedule going forward for the Baltimore backs is actually pretty good. I mean, they get the Browns, they get the Cowboys, they get the Bengals, they get the Dolphins in the next 4 weeks. So, I mean, I think that this might actually be a pretty decent buy opportunity for the Baltimore backs, because the offensive line is healthier now.
For both backs, or is there a back in particular you would fit?
Well, I think they're going to both be a factor. I think it'll be kind of like what we would expect, that both of them will get, you know, some rush attempts. I think Dixon's probably the better pass catcher, but West saw more targets yesterday, so I think it'll pretty much just be an even split until one of these two runs away with it.
Should we just trade for Terrence West now and get that Cleveland revenge game out of the way?
Oh, man, that's
a good
idea.
Oh, hell yeah, you should.
Thursday night football.
Totally do it.
But, I mean, listen, revenge game narratives aside, like, Cleveland is a JV squad right now. I mean,
their defense is bad.
It's unbelievable.
And their rush defense in particular is
very bad.
Very, very,
very
bad.
Let's
talk about Houston's pass game, shall we?
Do we have to?
Third
lowest pass yards per game. This is a pass attack that has Nuke Hopkins, Will Fuller, a lot of high round traffic.
CJ Fedorowicz.
Less than 200 yards a game.
They're less than 200 yards a game, and they are the third lowest. That means there are two teams that are worse.
Right.
Womp womp. Look, Will Fuller's isn't practicing again with an injury.
He's day to day.
I think we've discussed this before, and Marcus and I discussed it in separate portions on the couch on Sunday. But I think DeAndre Hopkins is okay. He's a hold. He's not going to be what he once was, but you can keep him around. And CJ Fedorowicz is going to be a fine play, but like, you can't play Brock, and you're certainly going to be worried. You're kind of banking on TDs a little bit there, but I don't know.
It's craziness. It's absolute craziness that they spent that kind of money on Brock Osweiler. Think about it. They have a guy in Jalen Strong they spent a third-round pick on. Braxton Miller's a first-round pick.
Braxton Miller's a third-round pick.
Third-round pick, rather. Will Fuller's a first-round pick. How is this the third lowest pass yards per game?
They also, I mean, they
doesn't
don't
make sense.
They don't want to throw the ball all that much. I mean, when they won when Detroit came to their house in week 8 before their bye, I mean, they only threw the ball 29 times. That's the script they want to play on, too. They don't want to, which is, they added a lot of playmakers and they want to spread the ball around. I mean, they telegraphed it going into this year that they didn't want to pummel DeAndre Hopkins with 12 to 15 targets every game. But it's ineffective in those short spurts because their quarterback.
But Matt, we're talking about totally different expectations. Like, you're saying, like, okay, that like they want to spread the ball around. But I mean, You can't be the third lowest in the NFL with those playmakers. Impossible.
For sure. That's I'm saying they don't.
Obviously, you can.
They're doing it.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying, like, I don't think that they want to be a high-flying pass attempt offense, so we already know that the volume is not going to be there. So in order for these players to matter for fantasy, they'd have to be hyper-efficient, and they're not going to be that with Brock Osweiler playing like a scared kitten at the quarterback.
Well, here's the problem. They may not want to be a high-volume pass attack, but look at Osweiler's pass attempts week to week.
Okay.
35, 33, 41,
That's
37, 42, 39, 41, 29.
Yeah.
He's throwing the ball a lot. So whether or not they want him to be that guy, he's being forced to be that guy.
I mean, yeah, there's a couple blowouts in there too, though. Like when they got blown out by New England,
but part of that
he crossed 40
But
attempts,
part of those blowouts are because he can't move
I know.
The offense to start the game, and then they fall behind.
No, for exactly. sure. Amazing. I'm just saying I don't think they want to be on that script where he's throwing 40 times a game, and it's in evidence by the fact that those three games where he did, they got blown out by the Patriots, the Vikings, and the Broncos.
All right, let's wash this horrible taste out of our mouths.
Thank you.
Wait, real quick.
Washed.
I feel like we should talk about Jacksonville's offense.
Oh, please. The rush game is bad.
And the pass game.
And the pass game is not much
bad. Wasn't bad yesterday.
True, those running backs did get going a little bit, kind of. That's
they both
true.
Had fumbles.
Well.
So they got that going for them.
But, hey, Chris Ivory had 100 yards.
True.
Fumbled at the goal line. Would have been a much different fantasy day if he actually scored that touchdown.
I wasn't sure he fumbled that either.
It was a very controversial replay review.
I think it looked enough like he fumbled that they called it that on the field, and then they didn't have enough evidence to.
Yeah, it was kind of blocked because they said, didn't they say that stands? It wasn't confirmed.
Correct.
But anyways, like it was great. A-Rob still getting pummeled with targets and got into the end zone, but like, man, that Julius Thomas is not looking good. He's not playing as often as he was in the past.
Nope.
This running game, shrug emoji.
Right.
Like. Bortles, no.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're playing Robinson based off volume, and
that's about it.
That's about it. Alan Hearns is in the concussion protocol. Marquise Lee leads a team in receiving.
Marquise Lee is consistent.
There has been a pretty equitable split, at least when it comes to receiving yards. Hearns has 443. Lee and Robinson each with 442. So it's about as even as you can get in terms of receiving yards in that group.
That's interesting.
Bummer, man.
Like, Robinson hasn't gone over 80 receiving yards all freaking season.
Is that true?
That is true.
God.
So,
that is a fact.
As we get out of here, guys, let's just have some peaceful music, a little fantasy therapy session. Minus that it's a long season.
It's like the waiting room
and
at a spa before you get a massage or something.
And look, although times might be dark and Ty Montgomery might still be a running back, the reason we play fantasy football is to have fun with our friends and enjoy watching the game of football in the end. So
it's true.
Just keep that in mind.
Anybody plays it.
Take a deep breath. And let's enjoy the rest of the season.
Tom Brady's back this week, guys.
By the way, that's the music that they should always play when you shed your walking boots. shed the walking boots.
I feel so
just
much
like
better
Brad
now.
Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie
shed their
multi-million dollar home.
I love it. Okay, there you go.
Hell of a thing to shed.
All right, let's talk about the offenses that you – oh, no, we already talked about that. Let's talk about the
not again, James.
No, very professional.
Again. No, we just got over this.
God, how much do we pay you for this?
Not enough. Top performers now from Sunday. Dak Prescott at the quarterback position, 247 pass yards, 3 touchdowns.
Heck yeah.
Great, man. He looks so good.
Was against Cleveland, but, you know.
Still.
But he's looked great all year.
He's balled all year.
Making really good
decisions. And plus, I think his schedule moving forward also is quite favorable. I really like him. Aaron Rodgers, 297. Again, short of 300.
Meh.
FYI.
Yeah.
3 touchdowns. The 43 rush yards.
What's weird is that for all the struggles the Packers offense has had the last 3 weeks, Rodgers has at least given you a good fantasy number.
100%. Yep.
But it's weird, like, they showed such a good, like, a good attack the 2 weeks going into this game.
Yeah.
With, and I see Gelhar shaking his head back there. You know, with the short, up-tempo, quick passing game. And then they went back to that same old BS about just trying to throw deep a bunch. I was writing about this in the Opportunity Report today. He had the second highest air yards, intended air yards, and incompleted air yards differential in the NFL. They just can't go deep right now, but God bless them.
When you think you can get Richard Rodgers open repeatedly 15 to 20 yards down the field,
you got
to
do it.
Got to do it.
You got to do it.
Got to do it.
What, do you have 10 targets yesterday?
I don't know. It made me want to throw up.
Get out of here.
He got up there, though. He got a lot of work. Holy hell.
I hope they go back to more of the attack that we saw against the Bears and whoever they played.
Falcons.
The Falcons, right. When Ty Montgomery and Randall Cobb are healthy.
Highlight of that game? The chipmunk on the field.
Squirrel. Oh,
squirrel.
Squirrel. Squirrel. Obviously not much of a highlight for you. You don't even remember what animal it was.
What the hell's the difference between a chipmunk and a squirrel? Aren't
wait, so
the same
what are you talking about?
No.
No?
James
no.
does not know geography and does not
does know rodents.
Your rodent knowledge.
It's very insensitive.
Whatever.
Yeah, the chipmunk community is just so offended.
Man, chipmunk Twitter is going to come at you hard.
Dude, you're going to get all kinds of nuts thrown at your head.
Because squirrels are the worst. Squirrels are a terrible animal.
Okay, disagree.
But chipmunks are good?
Or chipmunks are better?
Chipmunks are fine. There's not like 1,000 of them running around. I swear to God, my family's dog growing up used to get tormented by the squirrels because those you-know-whats would sit at the edge of the yard and just look at her and be like,
what's up?
You can't come
can't
out
Can't get us.
And then they would rummage through the attic and like, I think they almost drove my dad crazy because you'd hear him like scratching at the walls.
Plus, you know, squirrels don't wear full-length shirts and record albums.
That's true, too.
Oh.
I apologize to the chipmunk community.
Wait, the full-length shirt? Gelhar was wearing one of those this morning.
This is going on.
What?
It's going on way too long. Oh, it's going to be an anti-dap. Don't worry.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is great. All right. Drew Brees against San Francisco. 323 through the air. 3 touchdowns. Colin Kaepernick. Hey, OFYI. Solid matchup. 398. 398.
Didn't we have
scored Big Ben.
I was going to say, we had a debate about that on Friday,
we
right?
Did.
James,
we did.
Air 5.
Boom. Thank you.
Get out of here.
To be clear, I was in the middle.
398 through the air and 2 touchdowns. I cannot believe he almost put up 400.
Yo, I thought that was a typo when I first read that.
There was a lot of yak there. Not that it takes away from his totals or anything,
right,
it wasn't necessarily
that's true.
It wasn't necessarily that he sat back and carved up the Saints he dumped it off and the Saints just refused to tackle anyone with the ball.
I was going
to
say
cuz he had that dump off to DeJuan, right?
He had one to
was like 50
Vance
yards
McDonald,
or something.
Quentin Patton went over 100 yards.
That's
right.
I was looking at the Next Gen Stats packet and apparently Quentin Patton averaged the highest separation from the nearest defender at the point of the target.
I love it.
Of all receivers in week 9.
Fun.
What is wrong with the NFL?
Oh, Vance McDonald also had 84 yards.
Yeah, because he had
a long catch.
Yeah.
I think it was 76 to the house. Marcus Mariota, 313 through the air, 2 touchdowns, 14 rush yards, and a touchdown on
legit.
The ground as well.
He's been playing well.
He gets the Packers next week. He'll be a good option.
All right. Melvin Gordon continues to just put in work. He had almost 200 yards rushing.
Oh,
yep.
My God.
65 through the air.
Dude.
And he had a touchdown.
Yesterday might have been the best he's looked as a professional.
Now, he did. Now
he's getting better each and every week, I feel
does.
Like.
Yeah, no, he does. He looks great. But I will say this. He did show a little bit of wear and tear at the end of that game.
Yeah, and came 30, back and ripped off like
I know.
Run.
36 touches will do that, too.
I know.
Right.
Jeez.
But Kenneth Farrow is there.
That is a really good point.
I'm just saying he's there. All right, Mark Ingram, meanwhile.
No, that's a really – because listen.
Well, no, he's a solid handcuff, Kenneth Farrow.
If they're going to
– fine.
When you after these bye weeks end and you really have no need for all this bench depth, those are exactly the kind of players you want to add to your roster. Because if Melvin Gordon, you know, God forbid, like week 12, after seeing 36 touches, gets an injury, you play Kenneth Farrow in your fantasy championship and you Tim Hightower the hell out of
exactly. I just wrote about that in Deep Dive. Like Andre Ellington.
Rashad Jennings last year was like the running back two the last 4 weeks of the season.
And Farrow and
some
who else
idiots chase that into this year.
Alfred Morris too are all good guys to own right now because if any of those true workhorse backs ahead of them go down,
plug and play.
Yeah, just not future Hall of Famer Paul Perkins.
No.
Oh wow. Okay. Mark Ingram 158 on the ground, had 13 through the air as well. He had a touchdown,
but he was in the doghouse.
I think he's
until he ran a hell out of it.
So this was the thing. I'd love to see what the backfield split was because Hightower got the
had
first
seven
eight
more
carries.
Touches.
He had who did?
Hightower did.
Oh, seven more touches.
He had 24 total touches, and Ingram had 17.
If you take away the first drive, because Hightower got 8 in a row there.
Yes.
In the first drive,
then
alone,
it would be 15-15.
Right. So it was pretty even moving forward there. So there you go. Ezekiel Elliott in basically 3/4 of work.
He good.
Yep, 92 rush yards, 2 touchdowns. He's absurd. Frank Gore, 60 on the ground, 11 through the air, 2 touchdowns. Jay Ajayi continues to impress, 111 on the ground and a touchdown as well. Let's talk about wide receiver top performers. Mike Wallace, 124 receiving yards, 95 of it came out on an inside slant to the house. How does that make sense? He had a touchdown as well. Odell Beckham Jr., less than 50 yards receiving again, but it didn't matter in terms of fantasy because he had 2 touchdowns. A little bit of a I don't know, man. I worried about this with Jordy Nelson early in the season. I'm starting to worry about it with Odell Beckham Jr. The yardage is not there, and I'm starting to get a little bit worried.
He has like the same amount of receiving yards that he did in the first eight games of last season.
Is that true?
Yes.
All right.
I mean, he did have a 228-yard game against Baltimore this year, but at the same time, like, I think that I wouldn't go freaking out.
I'm not worried.
All right, there you go. Rishard Matthews, 63 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Fun fact, 2 wide receivers over the last 5 weeks have 5 touchdowns. Mike Evans and Rishard Matthews.
just like we all figured.
So here's a question, though, about Rishard Matthews. Perfect. I was just writing this up in the opportunity report, too. All 5 of his touchdowns have come in the red zone. He's had 5 red zone targets. He's had 5 red zone touchdowns. To me, that screams, you know, regression. Like, that's not going to happen. That's not going to continue to happen. But his playing time is also on the rise.
Yeah,
his quarterback's play is also on the rise. So we've got rising and rising and falling and falling potentially.
Well,
what do I do?
I think the interesting topic here is the fact that while we have, you know, we have lamented Allen Robinson and DeAndre Hopkins being brought down by their quarterback play, I think you can look at the opposite in Tennessee and see guys like Rishard Matthews and Kendall Wright who have been helped by the fact that their quarterback has gotten better as the season has gone along. And so now, I know it's never exciting or sexy or fun to talk about Titans wide receivers, but those guys have started to be a little more productive in the last few
years. Yeah, at least the one that's leading the team in snaps is producing, because Tajay Sharpe is just out there moonwalking around the field and not getting any fantasy points.
I feel bad for Tajay Sharpe in a way because, I mean, yeah, he was not performing, but at the same time, like, he's a freaking fifth round rookie.
Right.
Like, they're just going to toss him out there and be like, you're our number one X receiver. Go beat the top corner and press coverage.
It's just that there was a lot of hype, some of it coming from this room,
about
him in the first couple weeks. In fact, that first week or two, he actually was really good, and there was all this hype, and then, you know, reality set in.
He had like 50 or 60 yards each of those weeks.
Right, but there's all this, like, Tajay Sharpe.
He had 70-something yards at one point.
Show Sharp, baby. Let's go.
But also, Kendall Wright's snap percentage did go over 50%, I think, for the first time, 66% last week. That's probably also because Andre Johnson
retired. I think Rishard Matthews is a good person to add this. I was kind of surprised he was under the radar so long for the Titans, and now they paid him. He's making the most money of any receiver on that roster right now, and he's playing like he could be a number one wide receiver. And while all of his touchdowns have come in the red zone, they were using him deep earlier, too.
Yes.
So he has that in his repertoire. He's not a number one surefire wide receiver, but hell, all you want is production right now, and he's doing it.
Speaking of number one surefire wide receivers.
Oh, Michael Thomas. You're getting ahead of me here.
Here's the thing.
I was segueing you.
Thank you. Thank you. He's serving it up. I know that Michael Thomas played the San Francisco 49ers, but, I mean, gosh, he looks great.
Yeah.
73 yards, 2 touchdowns. He's just been sterling the last month.
I mean, he is the number one receiver on this team. And, you know, I know it's been easy and fun to compare him to Marcus Colston.
Right.
I don't think they're 100% the same guy.
They play similar roles,
though.
I kind of disagree with that.
No, Thomas plays outside. Colston always played in the slot.
Yeah. Sneed's been primarily a slot player. But
Colston was also a tight end at one point in his life.
That's why I think Thomas is like a souped-up version of Marcus Colston in a way.
Okay. All right,
yeah, but I think he's the top receiver on this team, no question about it. He offers a lot more than any of the other guys do on a consistent week-to-week basis. He's only crossed 100 yards. He's only crossed 80 yards receiving one time, but he's such a monster in the red zone, and he's just a consistent player.
You think anyone let's say you had Jarvis Landry. You think anyone would trade you Michael Thomas for Jarvis Landry?
No, there are very few.
I wouldn't have done that like after 3 weeks of the season.
Mm. All right, there you go. Let's go to tight end position. Jason Witten.
Tight ends against the Browns, guys.
He back.
What?
Jason Witten
hell?
With his first 100-yard receiving game since week 17 of 2013.
2013?
2013.
Tight ends against the Browns is like the Doyle rules with tight ends against the Lions. You just got to start them.
He had 134 yards.
Their linebacker, like, I would have loved to see in the next-gen stats the separation he had at the catch point because they just kept losing him. And this is Jason
Witten. Open.
This is not, like, a fast, athletic guy in the prime of his career. This is a guy surefire Hall of Famer, but in the twilight of his career, who's literally just walking routes and,
A guy who runs like he's got spikes on ice.
I mean, you also saw, I mean, like, Dak Prescott's like, oh, for reals? Oh, okay, here you go. Boom.
Yeah.
That's what's so great about Dak Prescott is, like, he, no question about it, just like, who's the open guy? Like, you know, if it's a Dez week like last week, he's fine throwing Dez 14 targets. If it's a situation where he's not the open guy, then he throws it to Beasley and Witten and all that.
Vance McDonald, 84 yards and a touchdown. Most of it came on one play.
Yeah.
Antonio Gates, 75 yards and a touchdown. He got work early, but then got kind of lost in the second half there. Greg Olsen was his usual solid self, 52 yards and a touchdown as well. By the way, the tight end position continues to be an absolute mess. All right, let's talk about biggest disappointments for
Lance
Sunday?
Kendricks had 90 yards.
Oh, good God.
Dude, he dropped a touchdown. Did you guys see the touchdown he dropped?
Yes.
Yeah, it was pretty.
It was so bad.
It was terrible.
Yeah, it was not great.
It was no bueno. Let's talk about biggest disappointments for Sunday. I felt like there wasn't really any quarterbacks that disappointed. Am I wrong in saying that? Big Ben even had a usable fantasy day. I mean,
if you streamed Ryan Tannehill like I did in
right.
a spot, and
you're a
Stafford, you know, Stafford was bailed out by overtime.
Cam,
I mean, he was in
yeah,
a tough spot.
Cam was not great.
What did he have?
14.
Okay.
It was such a disaster of a week for quarterback streaming anyways.
Yeah.
Like, we kind of expected that.
All right. There
but sure.
All right, running backs. Lev Bell, 32 on the ground, 38 through the air.
That one sucked.
That one was no bueno.
Ravens defense is for real, man.
Can we go back to something? This,
yes,
this,
no.
This only has mild fantasy implications, but at some point, are the Steelers going to go to Ben Roethlisberger and say, hey, I appreciate you wanting to hurry back and try to be the hero, but you're not helping anybody.
It doesn't seem to work out very
you're
well.
Not helping anybody. I mean, like, he's done this a number of times, and, you know, the stats have kind of come out about his, what is he now, 2-6 in the first game back after injury or something
right.
like that.
Does
and
he
the passer
more, more interceptions and touchdowns.
The passer rating is 70. And so, like, I'm sure everybody appreciates the fact that he wants to try to hurry back and help the team, but
right.
he's not helping the not team.
I mean, it probably made more sense when Charlie Batch was back there. As a backup?
Right. Or the other option is maybe they go out and invest in a quality backup.
I think, that's the message. Look, Pittsburgh, your starting quarterback gets hurt every year. Maybe do something other than, like, this is the year Bruce Gretkowski will come through for us.
The Steelers are a different team on the road, too, man.
Yeah, that's true.
They're 1-3 on the road this year.
And the Ravens always seem to play them very tight, too.
Yeah.
They've also gotten whooped on the road in those three losses.
Yeah.
The Miami, the Philadelphia, and now this game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying, even from the Baltimore side and also on Pittsburgh, too, like, I'm kind of tempted to just throw this game out, like, altogether just because these games always seem to go this way between Baltimore and
they do.
Oh, it's so weird. All right. Terrence West, 21 rushing yards, 6 receiving yards.
Sue me.
Was disappointing.
Dog, you're all right.
Charkandrick West, a lot was expected out of Charkandrick West. A lot of folks had him pegged as a top 10 running back play, and he probably was a top 10 running back play. He just didn't quite get there. 39 rushing yards and 35 receiving yards. Basically put up Lev Bell numbers there, and he was a disappointment, I
but
think.
But not in a good way.
Not in a good way.
Well, he only saw 16 touches, which I think if you were going to go into this game, you would have probably taken the over on that.
Oh, yeah.
I
right.
would have. I right. like. I mean, especially with Jamal Charles being on IR.
Right.
They just brought Nyheal Davis back. Spencer Ware was out. Like, you would have definitely
Nick think Foles 20
touches.
Quarterback.
Yeah, you would have definitely thought, like, 20 touches.
Easy.
And you got, I mean – like, we know he's not a great runner. And that was even the stat we had coming into this
yeah,
game.
Yeah, on
that,
Friday, Tag Larry had pointed out he needed 18 touches.
18 touches. He did not hit that. So, I mean, I think that, like, whoops. Sorry about your luck, dog.
All right, there you go. Jerick McKinnon was coming back from an ankle injury. Apparently, he came back a little too soon. He only had
pulled
eight,
a Ben.
He only had 8 rushing yards.
Yep, 7 carries. I don't think he had a reception either.
He had 7 carries?
Yeah.
Yep. Holy
Asiata had 9 for, like, 20-something, and Hillman had 7 for 30.
Yep. Oh, my God.
Yep.
That was the leader, 7 for 30.
That's, oh boy. From the wide receiver position, Jarvis Landry, just 33 yards. That's not good. Dez Bryant, can we talk about Dez Bryant? 19 yards for Dez. He didn't look great out there. He didn't see a lot of targets either, but that's okay.
I mean, at least he had 19 yards per catch.
True. It was a boat race, and you know, number one feature wide receivers, if they don't score early in a boat race, don't tend to put up a ton of fantasy points.
All right, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, this is Mark Sanchez got into this game.
This is a pretty like Sanchez and Morris were taking snaps in the fourth quarter. I mean, this is a classic example of, like, this is why I get so frustrated doing fantasy sometimes, because it's like you get people like, what do I do about Dez Bryant? Like, too bad. You got to take these L's sometimes, because that's the way football works. I remember tweeting out, I think, after the Thursday night game, something about Julio Jones, and or even before that, and they're like, oh, yeah, but the Falcons never throw to Julio Jones. I'm like, well, I don't think that they're suffering too much from it. Just like, right. I don't think the Cowboys suffered from Dez going 1-for-19 last week. Like,
it's true.
This is football. It happens.
All right, there you go. Brandon Marshall, we talked about extensively, 45 yards for him. He was a disappointment. Jeremy Maclin, he injured his groin. In the very first series, he had 0 points.
He only played 2 snaps, I think.
Yeah, wow.
So that wasn't good, but we'll see. Apparently, he could be missing this game as well. So we'll see, and we'll keep an eye on Jeremy Maclin, who's kind of sort of been a season-long disappointment anyway.
Yeah, all right, rough.
Marvin Jones, the former Cal product.
Hopefully.
Oh, boy.
Hopefully you sat him against the Vikings.
I know.
Everything pointed to sit him.
Yeah, that's so, true. No, that's true. He only had 5 receiving yards.
Week 3,
please.
Marvin Jones had that big game, 205 receiving yards.
Can we edit this part of the podcast out?
No. Nope.
I don't want to hear this.
You can mute.
In all the other games since then.
Oh, God.
Was he your March to 1,100?
Not this year. I thought it was Dante Moncrief this year. Was that last year?
No, last year was Moncrief.
No, Marvin Jones is.
Yeah.
He's probably still going to hit it.
Sorry.
Just because of those first few games.
Week 3, he had 205 receiving yards. In all the other games combined since then, 253.
Dang.
Oh, that's
This is true. That's exactly what that is.
The Lions have to play Minnesota again in like 2 weeks, too.
Correct.
So.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
watch out.
Xavier Rhodes didn't even shadow Marvin Jones in this game. I mean, this is another situation where, like, the Lions are functioning well spreading the ball out.
Yeah.
I mean, they definitely had some success with Jones there as the number one receiver, but I think defenses have adjusted, and that's opened up opportunities for Golden Tate, for Eric Ebron, who's seen 18 targets in the last 2 weeks since returning from injury.
Yep.
He's been a key part of the offense.
Anquan Boldin, too.
Anquan Boldin, yeah, he continues to be a hoss in the red zone.
Hoss!
By the way, James, Marvin Jones is on pace for 1,174 yards.
Oh, my gosh!
let's go!
Anyways, Ebron is a perfect segue into the waiver wire, which I'll speed through so we can get to Daps and get out of here.
Okay.
Check out both articles, NFL.com/waivers, NFL.com/deepdive. But as you mentioned, Harmon, Ebron, 18 targets over the last 2 games, 14 catches, $171. They're going on a bye this week. Good player to stash, though, because now rather than waiting, you know, before his next matchup.
By the way, he's starting to get healthy.
Getting healthy, and he's an excellent target for them. James Starks, I think, is one of the top priorities this week on the waiver wire. The Packers' backfield situation right now is unsustainable, to put it in a word. Relying on some sort of four-headed monster of Ty Montgomery, Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Ripkowski, and Don Jackson. With a little Adams and Cobb sprinkled in for good measure. They've trusted Starks with a full workload before, and he practiced last week. I think they're expecting him back this coming week, and I would expect him to get 15 to 20 touches a game if he's fully healthy.
Wow, that's quick. Okay.
J.J. Nelson, good wide receiver to pick up. The Cardinals run 3 wide receiver sets frequently, and he'll be a starter in those. Jamison Crowder, also a guy to check out from Washington. He has been on a roll there lately for them and is probably Cousins' favorite target. Mentioned the handcuffs there. Jake Cutler, I think, is an interesting streaming quarterback this week.
Hell yeah.
Against
who? He's playing Tampa Bay. He put up 250-plus yards and a touchdown against the Vikings in his first game back. We know he loves to chuck those YOLO balls. The Buccaneers can't cover anybody. It could be a good week to stream Cutler.
Yeah.
And then C.J. Fedorowicz. So we mentioned him earlier. He's coming off his bye. He's a good player to pick up if you need help at tight end.
Hey, little teaser here because you mentioned J.J. Nelson. You should turn your TVs to NFL Network's Fantasy and Friends tomorrow, Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, because I hear two idiot bearded men might be talking about him on the network.
Whoa. Oh, dang. Here we go.
Oh man.
Wah, boy.
But yeah, anyways, NFL.com/deepdive, NFL.com/waiver wire. I think I covered something like 32 players in those 2 articles. So
no, I read the waiver wire last night. It was long. Should be.
A lot of guys in there.
All those guys are taken in my league.
There are comments. There are comments like that in the comments.
There are. And then the comments of other people flaming those people.
Yeah, people get real mad at each other.
How many page views are you getting per word on that one there?
That's a good question.
That's a good question.
Go back and look at those numbers.
Okay. I have to decide whether to nix it or not.
All right, should we get to Daps?
Yes.
This is the day. Daps and hugs. Give me Daps because I'll be scribbling around. Give me dabbing up Daps
about Daps. Daps. Alrighty, daily dap time. Let's go around the horn. Matt Franciscovich, the franchise, and one half of the fantasy hipsters. Give me a daily dap, sir.
All right. I'm going to daily daps a t-shirt company called Buck Mason. They were actually on Shark Tank a while ago, if you guys ever watched Shark Tank.
I love Shark Tank.
I'm on their email list, and they've had this t-shirt. They're known for like super soft, comfortable, high-quality t-shirts, which get a bag of like 3 Hanes for $8 at Walmart. Yeah, but nah, these are nice t-shirts, man.
Okay.
Good quality, made in America.
Man, you are really filling the role of this hipster.
They've had this. I'm on their email list, and they've had this one shirt that I've been trying to get. It keeps, every time they get it in stock, it sells out in 48 hours. And I finally today got myself one.
There's a lot of hipsters.
What is the shirt?
It's just like a tri-blend, like gray cotton t-shirt.
Wow. And we just dropped Tri-Blend.
Yeah, buddy, it's supposedly super soft. And
how much are they paying you for this read?
They're not. Dude, it's a daily dab.
You've got side sponsorships?
No.
Okay.
I'm just pumped that I got this T-shirt that keeps selling out because I've been trying to get it.
Armin's upset at you.
When you live,
he's thinking.
He also said he had to try and buy this T-shirt multiple times. That's not a sponsorship.
Yeah, that's how they fool you.
And right. I know it's wintertime, but when you live in Southern California, T-shirts are key. Wintertime.
There it is.
So
okay,
Buck Alex. Mason, nice
Buck
T-shirts.
Mason, let's go. Alex Gellar, Whiskey from Wisconsin.
Why is that funny?
Do you have any Corpo sponsorships you'd like to get out?
Corpo?
I do not have sponsorships. First thing I want to give a daily dap to the iguana snake chase video that caught Twitter by storm this morning.
Amazing.
It was a clip from an episode of Planet Earth Series 2 that's, I think, airing on the BBC right now. We'll get it over here eventually. This was like one of the best chase scenes like I've ever seen in cinema, real life.
How did they get this footage?
Unbelievable.
There are like jib boom cams like scrolling across the sand.
Probably all drones and stuff.
Yeah. But I like the timing of it.
Oh man, it is incredible.
It's awesome stuff.
And it's edited together really well, but everybody was tweeting about it, so I was like, fine, I'll watch this stupid video. And then I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And somebody did a cut up of it with the primetime music.
Sick.
Even when you first sent it over Slack, I was like, I don't
care. Yeah, you were naysaying it.
Of course, classic. But it was awesome.
Yeah.
Planet Earth is sick.
And then Harmon's over at his desk, like clapping and getting up out of his chair.
I'm like, oh, he got away from the snakes.
Spoiler alert.
Dude, what the hell, bro? I haven't seen it yet.
Anyway.
But he might have gotten back. Might have got him again.
You got to watch it to find out what happened.
It's insane.
There are twists and turns.
What a jerk.
Will blow amazing. Your mind.
I haven't seen it yet. I can't wait to.
You should watch it. It's
cut this out of the podcast.
And I dap to this new trend that we learned about. Like, I got Harmon and I think, are
it's
both
not really new.
Well, I don't follow trends like that are this.
Just to be clear, Harmon's been in this clothing club
for two years.
And you just banned.
Okay, so anyways, there's like
about?
One of those clothing clubs where they send you clothes. Like, I don't have time to go. One of the subscriptions.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I don't have time to go shop during the season. So Harmon had one. Franchise has talked about them. I got one.
Okay.
And they sent me this nice pair of jeans and a sweater, and I just threw it on this morning and walked out the door.
Yeah.
Didn't realize the sweater's like a damn nightshirt. Like, I'll stand up, James, so you can see it, but it's literally, like, I could wear it and not be revealing on either the front or the back.
This is true.
This is how they make these shirts now.
He looks like
one of the grandparents in Charlie and the Chocolate
Factory. I'm supposed to have Peter Pan jump through my bedroom window and take off to Neverland.
It does kind of look like a shirt that's a night shirt because it's fitted, but it is really long.
And it's, like, it flares out a little bit. Like, I could probably get a good twirl if I did that. But anyways, like Franchise said, this is like the look in Hollywood now. Guys
That's
will wear like flannel shirts midway down their thighs and
That's
like a
true.
Jean jacket over it.
Yeah. That is true.
Yeah.
Not a good look.
I've seen that in Hollywood, yeah.
It's no longer Yeezy season. It's Gellhaar season.
No, it's Yeezy season.
Yeezy.
Oh great!
Did you see the Photoshop I did of?
Yeah, this is good.
I seen it.
That's gonna turn out well on the podcast.
I don't care.
You tweet it out. I don't care.
Tweet it. Let me see Geezy season.
After the podcast goes up, I'll tweet.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
There you go. MG, my guy Marcus Grant. What's up?
Both a dap and an anti-dap go out to America.
America.
Oh man, this is gonna end.
Well,
bad.
I mean, because
come on, America.
Daps because Election Day is tomorrow.
Yes.
Which means we made it, y'all. Because it's been a slog. It has not always been great, and so I guess the dap to the fact that we somehow have survived this latest round of electioneering that somehow takes a year and a half, where in other countries it takes 6 weeks.
Unbelievable.
We have somehow turned this into a year and a half sport, which is not entertaining. Anti-dap, though, to America, because it has also brought out the worst in us.
Oh, my Lord.
On every side of it, it has brought out the worst in us.
It's the truth.
But that all said, go vote. I decided to spend my Saturday sitting at home and going through my ballot and reading all the measures and trying to be a responsible citizen and being prepared for this whole thing.
Some serious but adulting you did.
I did a lot of adulting. Here's the thing. I also crushed a six pack while I was doing this. So let's not think that I was being fully
nice.
But
I like it.
But seriously, I mean, go vote, get out there, at least express your vote and your opinion on what you want the country to be for the next 4 years. So yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Beautiful. All right, let's go to the other half of the fantasy hipsters. West Virginia's finest, Matt Harmon. What's going on?
Yeah, so today is my dad's birthday. So
happy birthday.
Daily
wow.
Daps to my dad. He's 67.
Good stuff.
Almost man. Nice.
Okay.
Oh, my God. When he has his 69th birthday, you know what I mean.
Nice.
No, but yeah, so daily daps to dad. He's been a hell of a good dad so far, and I expect nothing more than that going forward.
You should just try in your next 2 years in this industry to befriend Gronk and then have him give your dad a call.
Oh, yeah, dude. Hey, man.
Challenge accepted.
You're already best friends with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
And, I'm also.
And Marquette King.
Yeah.
And Marquette
King. Like, who's everybody's new favorite football player.
I know.
And literally cool. Your friend.
And he follows me on Twitter.
Cool well, name dropper.
Obviously, because yeah. You're friends.
Francis, you want to pick that up? For him, I think he dropped that.
Yeah, there's like seven.
I didn't
names
drop
on
it. He dropped it for me. Both these guys dropped the names. I'm talking about my father.
Whatever, name dropper.
Oh, get out of here.
Daily daps to the. I don't. Who do I daily dap? This the graphics team.
Me.
The Savior Season Week.
Oh yeah, the social
pictures?
Team I think had a lot to
oh
do with
God,
it.
Yeah.
Social and the photo team.
Those yeah. Are cool as hell.
Oh, is that DeMarcus?
Whoa, Marcus is Spider-Man.
It's cool.
Spider-Man? Are there that's how more they, than one of them?
No, that's how they say it in England.
Right. I'm appealing to the...
That's
nerd.
So sick.
Spider-Man hey, can't be black, yo.
We're having... I know. I asked Donald Glover, right?
I'm
but French, I said it like they live down the street. We're going to go have dinner at the Spider-Mans. <you
know>? Listen, I'm telling you. Like, that's how the English say it, bro.
Oh, my God. Akbar is the
Hulk.
He looks awesome.
Like... Vitamins and glaciers. It's Spider-Man.
Spider-Man and
but no, they
Batman,
did. If you guys haven't
Superman.
Seen, if you guys haven't seen the pictures, they're pretty cool. So they're having this whole. And MG, maybe you could explain it better than me. But it's Savior Season Week on NFL Fantasy Live.
Savior season.
Basically, what is it like? Viewers and stuff. They like
send
email
questions,
you guys, send questions,
yeah,
about
tweet questions, whatever.
Get
them in.
Season.
Right, like you know, you are trying to make a playoff push. You're trying right. To you know that last little bit to. Try to rectify things, and so right. All week long we are, you know, on NFL Fantasy Live on social media. In fact, on Tuesday I think I'm doing a Q&A session. Akbar did one on Monday. So yeah, all week long.
I'll be having
okay.
Some
that's
questions.
That's the unimportant part. The important part is the fact that now with this promotional blitz, the graphics team or whatever put together these pictures with basically Marcus's head on Spider-Man and like Akbar's on
Spider-Man.
The Hulk. Spider-Man. Sorry,
one of the
right.
Spider. One of the Spider-Mans.
And one of the Spider-Mans and Akbar's on the Hulk. That's
what. Oh my God, we're so far off the rails.
How are we still
that was wrong.
Oh, we were teetering on and off the rails for so long. And now we're gone.
Okay. All right. So anyways, if you haven't seen the pictures, go online.
You go to my Twitter account. I tweeted out
go.
Mine at least.
Yeah, yeah.
And I believe Akbar may have tweeted his.
Yeah,
so the NFL fantasy tweeted it is, with some Nickelback lyrics.
Yes,
it's
you did.
Pretty
to
sweet.
Bring you guys
I noticed
back.
That.
What?
It is,
what?
It's pretty
well, because it was the picture, I think, from the first Spider-Man like poster that they did
Spider-Man.
For Marcus Spider-Man. Sorry, for Marcus's image. So I quote tweeted it with because Nickelback did with the
oh,
guy.
The...
That hero can
hero
save,
can
oh,
save
yeah.
Us.
Hero.
I'm not going to stand here.
Oh, God. End the show
please.
Right now.
Yeah, let's
end the show.
So I quote tweeted Marcus's picture with that lyric.
I can't believe that just happened.
What?
Oh,
what?
Man.
What the hell?
So,
show.
Oh my God!
How do we just get paid for that?
Let's just go.
Oh my God! Oh, for the franchise, for MG, for Alex, for Matt Harmon. I'm James Cole. We'll see you.
See you later.
Well, you know, he does have a horse.
Does he bring it around Eric Berry to scare the shit out of him?
Eric Berry.
Does Eric Berry not like horses?
Eric Berry is apparently deathly afraid of horses.
NFL Films Presents thing.
Is he eating pretzels?
I was going to say, actually,
pretzels
it might
and
be some sort of snack.
You guys
I think
can
it's
turn
pretzels
off
and
those
Cheez-Its,
cheese, you realize.
I don't know. I'm kind of entertained.
Unless you want this insight into
man, he's really going at it right now.
whatever he's watching is
he's
super
like, more
intense.
Snacks. He didn't like the pretzel, so he changed it out for a Cheez-It. Oh.